right, let me reset the stage. We're talking to Carol, calling from beautiful Sorita, Arizona, probably a gorgeous morning down there in Sorita, in a home that was built just several years ago. In her laundry room, she has an exhaust fan that comes on 10 minutes every hour. I'd like to bring Carol back in the conversation because I want to ask her a couple more questions. Carol, have we got you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Carol, I'm guessing, is this an all-electric home or is it a dual-energy home with gas and electric?
It's gas and electric, but the system is electric. It's a heat pump.
Right.
That's electric.
But in that laundry room, is there a gas dryer or a gas water heater?
No.
In the laundry room, the dryer is electric.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, Carol, I'm a little stumped. I would have pictured that we had a fresh air intake somewheres in that laundry room to make combustion air for a gas appliance. Having a fan circulate on with no way to replace that air really doesn't accomplish anything. What we try and do with these new homes that are sealed up so tight is the air conditioning ductwork system actually has to grab fresh air from outside and introduce it in front of the filter system to give you some fresh makeup air in the house, to give you some amount of air rotation. Why they did that in an all-electric laundry room with no fresh air intake anywhere else makes no sense to me. I would tell you to call the contractor that built it in 2016 and ask them what specifically what purpose is served by that fan coming on. Those aren't expensive fans. If it indeed serves a healthy purpose, they're not expensive to replace. You're not looking at anything that's going to cost thousands of dollars. You're talking maybe a couple hundred. Call the contractor. And when you do, I'd like you to get back in touch with me and let's visit. I want to know why that fan was programmed to do that in an all-electric laundry room. All right?
Great. Thank you. I will do that.
And I bet you are having a beautiful morning in Sorita, and I hope you do. Everyone in Arizona should be having a beautiful morning. Jennifer, did you post that sunrise picture on Rosie on the House Facebook? Yeah, it was a gorgeous sunrise.
She's shaking her head, yes. Next
Let's get to Phoenix and talk to Bob.
Hi, Rosie. I've talked to you before. I'm replacing vinyl tile in my house. And I was looking at the vinyl, well, I don't know what kind of tile it was in his house, but it's the simulated wood. Now, I want to know what the minimum thickness is for a wood flooring to where it doesn't sound like you're walking on a hollow hollow floor, you might say.
Well, I don't know that the thickness is the answer, but first off, we have to make sure it's absolutely level because, you know, even in concrete, there can be some waves that form while it's curing over time. So the first thing is we need to make sure we've got a completely flat surface so that there's never a point where your foot steps on a plank that might have even just like a tenth of an inch gap in it.
And I wasn't clear. Is Bob trying to put in a wood-looking vinyl floor?
Or is he trying to put in a wood floor.
A real wood floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wood panels or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're going to put in a real wood floor that sounds like a solid real wood floor, like was in your grandmother's house back in the Midwest, you're going to have to use a solid 3/4 inch piece of wood mounted on top of a solid 3/4 inch piece of plywood. The engineered flooring that we are using most of the time anymore is pretty thin, and it can glue down, and it may be able to glue down on top of your vinyl if your vinyl is good and stuck well. The vinyl actually makes a pretty decent vapor barrier to the wood. So you're to get what you're looking for, the solid sound, it's going to take 3/4 inch wood mounted on 3/4 inch plywood. You're going to need 1.5 inches throughout the house.
An inch and a half, I'm going to have to cut off of all of the vertical trim wood.
Yeah, there's a special saw. There's a special saw that's made for that.
And probably a lot of your doors.
Yeah.
But the casing, rip all the baseboard up, put the wood floor in, then put new baseboard on top of that before you put the shoe mold down. It's a very handsome look, very good looking look.
It's a lot of work.
But it's a lot of work. Vapor barrier is going to be the most important thing for that. So it would take me too long to talk through it. But I've got your phone number, and Bob, you've got my phone number. This same number, 1-888-767-4348, rings into our office all week long. Or you can reach me at info@rosieonthehouse.com, and I can put you in touch. I got a glowing letter from our Rosie Certified East Valley Floors just this week saying how much they loved the product and the service they got from Vaughn at East Valley Floors. It was a great letter. And I'd let you talk to Vaughn. He could talk to you direct. Talk real turkey on wood floors.